Player.
And welcome to Versus Player, the podcast about games, life, and everything in between. I'm Jono.
I'm Joe.
I'm Jace.
And back only a week later.
Look at us go.
I know, look at us go. Yeah, to take all the mystery out of what happens in the background. Maybe it's not a week later, but yeah, whatever. You can believe what you like. Yeah, multiverses and all that sort of thing. We're going to talk about retro gaming. Well, not entirely retro gaming, maybe more about what we're playing right now and the stuff that's bringing us back. The cool thing is, I know we've talked about a lot of retro games that someone's been playing. Joe mentioned at the end of the last podcast that he got a bit of a retro hit with Classic Tetris, which is really cool. So I'll throw it out to you boys before, or would you like me to jump in first? I mean, it's up to you.
I want you to do it. I want you to tell me what you've been playing.
This is your area, Johnny. Come on.
Love the retro games. And look, I've got to admit, I've been playing a lot of Fortnite, but I'm not here to talk about that today. What I am here to talk about is three games. Now, one's got a retro theme. One is a retro re-release, and the other one is a modern game that's taking all of its leanings from a retro game. So I'll go with the first one. I stupidly, and I do this every single time, brought G.I. Joe, The Wrath of Cobra. I buy G.I. Joe games because I love G.I. Joe, and they disappoint me every
single
time.
Keeping the lights on.
Well, here's the thing, right? I read reviews and I knew it was bad. So I stacked up on Microsoft points, took $20 off the price, wait for it to go on discount. I got it for like $9.
Nice.
So that's all right. It's a beat-em-up game in the vein of the recent Ninja Turtles.
Like Streets of Rage kind of style?
Streets of Rage kind of style.
Yeah, cool.
Looks kind of cool. I like the art style. It was all right. And it had some nice throwbacks to vehicles in the background of, you know, classic G.I. Joe vehicles from the 80s and the 90s. But every review that I watched on it was 100% right. It's just the worst hit detection. It's not really horrible, but it's just not great. The bad guys have no real pattern to what they're doing. They just kind of spam themselves at you, and you don't feel good for taking them out. You don't feel bad for taking them out. You just don't feel anything. So far I've gotten through like three levels and I really want to get through the rest, but there's not even a cohesive story between it all. It's just like, here's another level, a little bit of text at the start. That's it.
I don't understand. I swear we talked about this before, but like, I don't understand how I love G.I. Joe. I'm going to start with that. But like, I don't understand how it's still a thing. Like, nothing good G.I. Joe related has come out, but like, Hasbro owns the license, right?
So Hasbro does have something good G.I. Joe out at the moment, and that's G.I. Joe Classified. It's a series of 6-inch figures, so like your Marvel Legends and your Star Wars Black Series.
Who's buying them?
People my age.
So right? So like, they're banking completely on nostalgia and a time period. Like, there'd be very few like 10-year-old boys or girls going out there buying like Snake Eyes, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the big thing that's happening at the moment is Hasbro have recently started to reconsolidate and they're selling less toys and their aim is to go more digital.
Right.
I mean, if this is the way they farm out their digital licenses and properties, they need to think about it, because whether they'll be around or not,
I wonder, it'll be interesting to see. Not that we probably should, but I wonder like if it's just, if you have a good idea, you go to Hasbro and they're like, yeah, you can use G.I. Joe. Like, I wonder if it's, like, really affordable. Like, how does games like the one that you just played recently, like, how does that get made? Well,
it's got a banner at the start that says Hasbro Retro Arcade.
Yeah. So
Hasbro clearly want content out there. Although, funnily enough, when they announced this restructuring and their change of direction where, like, they'll still do toys for the moment, but they're starting to farm some of those toys out to other toy companies to make it for them. Or make it themselves and they just take a cut because their properties or their licenses. But they announced a video game that's coming in sometime in the future.
Yeah.
And it was all brand new IP. They didn't even bother using their classic stuff. So, yeah. What
makes them money? Like, what's Hasbro making money from?
I think they were making more money for a while there from the license for like some of their movies, like Transformers, for a long time there. But even that, their production studios, because they owned a production studio that used to do a lot of the work in the background, and they sold that off too. So if Paramount does a new Transformers movie, it's purely on their back, but Hasbro will still get a cut.
Mm.
Yeah, but like you said, John, I like banking on the nostalgia. That's why that there's so many like 2D side scroller beat 'em up sort of games with retro properties. Like I recently bought the Halloween and Ash vs Evil Dead.
Oh, you got it.
Double thingy, whatever it was, and I played through Ash vs Evil Dead, and it was fun, and it wasn't anything, you know, groundbreaking. But like I think there's a Power Rangers game, a beat 'em up. They're doing a Space Adventure Cobra. Which is like a massive throwback.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it looks pretty cool.
The anime, yeah.
Yeah, and they, you know, lots of, like, they're doing a new Scott Pilgrim, like, in that old kind of, you know, style, the pixel art style. Yeah.
Right. Okay. It seems very expensive to do this sort of stuff, and they're just sort of, like, throwing darts out there. Scott Pilgrim's great, but, like,
I think maybe it's not expensive, though. Maybe it's not. Maybe, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, how many side-scroller games are there, beat-em-up style games are there that they just, you know, two Ninja Turtle ones in like the last 2 years or 3 years?
Well, Shredder's Revenge has been one of the better selling games, and it's a love letter. Mm. And the same guys behind that are making that new Marvel Cosmic Invasion that looks just as good, if not better. And then there's that Streets of Rage 4 from a few years ago. So like there's been some really good side-scrolling beat 'em ups.
I don't want this to stop, to be clear. No. I just don't understand how it's happening. And like, cool, keep it going. I don't need to know what's going on behind the curtain. It doesn't seem like it would be that affordable to be able to just like, especially if they're not hits, right?
I think Jono hit it on the head. Like, it's like people our age who have jobs and, you know, money, and these games aren't hugely expensive, and it's a nostalgia hit, right? Like, I bought that Ash vs. Evil Dead. It took me, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours to finish it from memory.
Yep.
It's not very long. And it wasn't super expensive. I got on an EB sale on disc,
cool.
You know, and
that's good.
I was banking on that.
What else are you playing, Jono?
Well, I said there were two other games. So, one is Game Pass recently got Heretic and Hexen in a bundle, which is really cool throwback. I've played, Heretic a little bit now because I remember playing it years ago. I think I had the shareware version, depending on when I'm playing it, what time of day, and how long I'm playing it for, I've never had this before, but I'm starting to get motion sick.
Yep.
Only for a second. Yeah. Like I get a hint of it, and I usually stop and leave it for a while. The same thing happened because I got myself there was a remake of Dark Forces a year ago, and same thing on that. So I have to be like pretty careful in terms of, I actually think, okay, you know, I'm getting older. My eyes aren't what they used to be. They used to be 20/20. I really need to go see an optometrist at some point in the future. It might be that. But I actually really like it. It's cool. Like Keratic being able to, and that's a Play Anywhere one. So I started playing it on the PC and then realized it was on the Xbox, and I've got it there as well. So that's kind of cool.
That is one of the perks as well, like doing that transition as well, because mouse and keyboard is quite different to controller if that's how you're doing it. And so it's fun to be able to jump between those two. Like it changes the way games are played.
I ended up getting controller on both.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's funny. So I was just having a look at what the game was called. Mullet Mad Jack is a game that I played recently on Game Pass. It was really fun, but I was the same as you, John. I could play a few stages, then I had to stop because it was making me a little bit dizzy.
Mm.
And it probably had something to do with like that old pixel art style, because that's what those games are too. But with the smooth frame rate, it just, back in the day, just the jankiness of it, I think might have helped alleviate that. But yeah, I honestly found the same thing. And
that's
it was that
a
kind
super
of Guitar Hero burning I was getting as well. Like I would just look away and I would see everything coming towards me still. So it was like, I need to stop. But it was a cool game. You enjoyed it, Jace?
I enjoyed it. There's another game that came out that I played before. It's called I Am Your Beast. It's very short.
Yes.
It has similarities to Superhot in terms of how you approach it. Ooh. There's no freezing mechanic, but it's about getting through levels quite quickly. There was also another game on Game Pass from ages ago. I think it's called White Something. Yeah.
My son.
I was going to say your son was
everything.
On a lot, yeah.
He like 100% of everything in that game.
Oh, wow.
Like a beast. I used to love watching him play it. He was unbelievable.
So fast.
Yeah, like so fast.
It's
so
a speedrunning
cool.
game. It's designed for speedrunning.
It's a speedrunning game. You're supposed to like learn the layout of the levels and which way to go and when to use what. And yeah, it's like a dance. It's really cool to watch. He was incredible at it. Keyboard mouse and so fast. I was in awe.
I can barely dance as it is. I don't think I can do those dances anymore.
The dance of death.
Yes. Oh, I wish it would be my death, but more likely. So
number three, Jono.
number three. I think I talked about it back in January, way back when.
Yep.
It's called Cleared Hot.
Mm.
So it's a spiritual successor to the Desert Strike series. So Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, Urban Strike, three of my favorite games. I spent a lot of money renting Jungle Strike from our local Civic Video back in the day.
Yep.
I now own copies of it, so I don't have to worry about that, which is good. But Cleared Hot is just phenomenal. Like they've made it modern. It plays so nicely. The mechanics are really well thought out, and it's really tongue-in-cheek humor in it as well. So it's not over the top, because there's another game I saw on Steam called Megacopter, which is like really over the top with the humor, but the gameplay didn't feel quite as nice. It didn't feel like you had a lot of freedom. It was just like, we're just going to spawn lots of enemies towards you. But Cleared Hot feels like, yeah, there's a path to the mission, and sometimes you're racing against something, but it's got a bit of a, you know, a little bit of humor, a little bit of Top Gun Maverick going on, but you're in helicopters, and it's
it looks smooth as I'm watching a video of it right now. I used to play games like this at the arcade when I was like 6 years old. It looks like a nostalgia trip right there.
So there's a demo on Steam. I cannot recommend it enough. It's like three levels in the game, and the first level is such a throwback to the first level of Desert Strike.
Yeah,
it's almost like a parallel, but it ends a little differently, and then there's a time skip and you get two more levels, and they are all very different from each other, and they're just phenomenal. And I cannot wait for the full game, but there's no confirmed release date. It's meant to be
this year sometime.
Yeah. And there's no confirmation that it'll go to console yet either. Although I think they've said they'd like to do console down the track, but you know what? That old PC that you gave me, Jace, is,
I can't believe it's still gone, man. Like that was a little tiny PC. Those things don't usually last that long. So I'm glad.
Yeah, it's going to get some Cleared Hot action, that's for sure. I definitely recommend it. Try it out. I mean, at the very least, download the demo. It doesn't cost you a cent.
I've got it. It's waiting for me. I'm definitely going to jump in as soon as I can.
I'd love to hear what you guys think of it, because I was blown away with actually how well it was designed. And it's a small team, apparently, that are putting it together. It's just someone had an idea, wanted to, you know, bring back Desert Strike and the others, and this is what they went with, and they got a couple of people behind them, and they've slowly been chugging away at it.
I'm looking forward to it. Steam gets some really good stuff that just doesn't pop up any, and it's not just Steam, right, but most of the time it is, like, it's PC. I'm looking forward to it big time. I'm loving a lot of these indie games that are coming out, and these sort of homages. Like, I think I read the developer said like nobody else was making another Jungle Strike or Desert Strike, so I made one myself. Is what started that. And you know, it's the same thing with Stardew Valley. You know, there wasn't anything really quite like it that was actually good, so he made his own, and you know, obviously he saw a lot of success from that as well. But it's very cool.
So are you guys playing anything at the moment? There's a game
retro style games, or like I could talk about a retro throwback game, but it's brand new. I recently played Ninja Gaiden Ragebound.
I really like to try that. How?
Yeah, I loved it. It was again, it just the art style and the fact that I haven't played a side scroller Ninja Gaiden game since I don't know, when was the last one, like the 90s, 80s maybe, like super old.
Yeah, I hunted down a Mega Drive copy of the one I originally owned back in the 90s.
Yeah, and it played really well. It was not super hard, which I appreciate.
So that's what surprised me, because like the original Ninja Gaiden, one and two were mental. Like they were so hard.
Mm.
Yeah, there's like, you know, midpoints through the stages and things. I think you can like bash them to not have them, like in some other games of the style, you know, where you can kind of like have a harder mode, like yourself. But I kind of just stuck to it as a normal game. I didn't do all the bonus stages. I played the game like through the story, and then I thought, I'll go back to the bonus stages. And then you'd lose your powers in some of them because the story's progressed. And I thought, I might be overpowered for them. But actually, I found it harder to play without these things that I kind of start to learn as the game went on. So I kind of regret that side of it. But yeah, it wasn't too much, maybe like $30. I bought it when it came out. It was cheaper on PlayStation than Xbox for some reason, which is hilarious because, you know, they own that license now, you know, and whatnot.
Do they?
Yeah, they got all the Team Ninja games are free on Xbox.
Do too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden Black, I played that through Xbox Game Pass as well. And the Ninja Gaiden's coming out later on as well. But yeah, no, it was a really cool throwback game. And the art style, like when they had the cutscenes with, you know, the pixel images, it's just beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Have you got another game that you want to talk about? Or is it just that one at the moment? Because I've got a question for you on one.
The other game that I've played recently, which is an old game, my son's been going through all the Resident Evil games. He just finished Resident Evil 5. He's bought it on the MetaQuest, and now he's playing, which is the VR version is like the original version of it, not the remake version of it. So he's getting like both kind of goes at that. But we're playing through Resident Evil 5 through on our PlayStation backwards compatibility, whatever they call it, PlayStation kind of the old games there. And man, the split screen where it's really small, we're sitting really close to the TV so we can see, and the tank controls, it's a game in time, but it is an awesome game. I never played it before. Like, I'd only ever played, like, I think there was a demo back in the day, or maybe I played something with you, Jono, maybe like the first couple stages. We're much further than I've ever been, and it's a cool game. And
do you think they'll remake it?
I think they're doing Code Veronica and Zero next, and then it's going to be difficult to remake it with the kind of, you know, modern world and, you know, where it's set and who you're fighting and all that. I know that I've heard people talk about this on podcasts and things before, but in terms of the gameplay and what goes on in the story, I think it's really cool, and I would love to see a remake of it. I want to play it through all the way like this though. And if it gets the full Resident Evil 4 remake or 1 and 2, 2 and 3 remake treatment, which they've done recently, Capcom's killing it, I'll play any remakes they make.
Nice. Well, the game I wanted to ask you about kind of falls in that same sort of realm, because the games from this series you played back around the times of those Resident Evil games, and that's Prince of Persia, or in this case, the Rogue Prince of Persia. Have you had a go of it?
Yeah, I know you played it in when it was in its early release, right, Jace?
I don't know if it was necessarily in its early release. I did play it quite a while ago. It was part of like the Ubisoft Plus thing that I had for like 2 weeks.
It only just recently came out as a full game. I watched some documentary on it recently, and like how the art styles changed and kind of like they've redesigned the look of the game. But yeah, I played it when it got released. I was going to buy it, and it was on Game Pass and on PlayStation Plus, which I'm like, okay, because as people who've listened to this podcast before know, like the Prince of Persia series is a game where, like you say with G.I. Joe, John, are you going to give him money because you want to keep the lights on there? I'm like, you sell a Prince of Persia game, I'm buying this game, I'm playing this game. And I really enjoyed it. It's very Dead Cells-ish in its kind of game play, but I love the parkour. You kind of run on the backgrounds. To kind of traverse the world as that, you know, they said initially they wanted to do the rewind mechanic, but they couldn't make it fun in the game is basically what they said. And I think what they've done, it feels like Prince of Persia still, like the parkour side of it. And I finished the game as in beat the main boss. I only got to it was funny. I probably got halfway through the game, maybe, you know, half a dozen times. And then the first time I got further than halfway through, I finished it. First go. And I was like, the boss, you know, as that often has in games, not a spoiler, I think, but like has different waves. And like the first wave, I was like being breathed on. I was going to die. And then the second wave, I just like, all over it. I just decimated them. So it was really fun. And I haven't gone back to it because a lot of other things have come out. And but I highly recommend it. Like there it's sitting on your Game Pass or your PlayStation Plus. It's if you liked Dead Cells, you will love this. It plays differently.
Yeah, it does.
And yeah, like I didn't find it super duper hard. I found it more rewarding, and the upgrade paths were cool, and you can respec your character as you're going. So it wasn't punishing like that. But I didn't, I don't know, maybe I played it for, I can look it up. I would guess about 4 hours before I finished it. So it wasn't super long, and there's so much more to do and unlock. And you know, there's a guy that I've left in jail. I haven't helped him and things like that. But by now, by the time I go back to it, it's going to be like relearning the skills there. But I think you'd love it, Jono.
I've had a brief go. I I don't know. I unless I really enjoy something straight away, I seem to be steering away from it after a while. I didn't not like it. I just didn't love it at the same time. So
yeah.
I'm sure I'll give it a go again because I've got a lot of games. I'm looking at my list on Xbox for things I've gotten achievements on recently. Like I still got to go back and finish The Outer Wilds. I don't think I'm far from the ending, but I'm far enough away that it feels like forever. And
Outer Wilds is one of those games where if you leave it for too long as well, you either forget stuff or like that game isn't the most straightforward game to control either. So I don't know. Like sometimes you just have to restart things because the muscle memory goes away. But I hope you get to the end.
Yeah, I hope so too. I also got House of the Dead Remake for like $2 or $3 on Xbox. Yeah,
you were pumped about that.
Yeah, which is it's weird to be playing a House of the Dead game. Yeah, it's funny, especially with our light gun.
Yeah,
but it is a bit of fun. So yeah, I'm looking at my list, and it's funny how much of that stuff I keep cycling through the same sort of games at the moment. And you know, one of my guilty pleasures is I can just play and shut the brain off is Halo Wars 1 and 2. Yep. Nice. So I seem to be cycling back in them a lot.
Yeah, it took me 4 hours and 1 minute. Sorry to finish the Rogue Prince of Persia. When I say finish, beat the main boss.
Yeah,
But yeah,
that's good. That's really quick. How about you, Jace? Are you playing anything retro?
Nothing retro. I mean, I definitely play a lot of like more sort of indie titles. And I mentioned very, very briefly to you guys that I was playing a game called Back to the Dawn, which is a game where you are in a prison. Everyone is an animal and you have to figure out how to escape. It's half puzzle game. It's a social thing. There's a stealth kind of element to it, but it's mainly a social thing, and you've got X number of days to be able to break out. The pixel art is some of the best I've ever seen. Like I know how complicated it is to do good pixel art. I don't know how to get people to play this game because it's quite obscure.
It looks like a prison escape game.
Are you thinking of like, yeah, look, it's kind of hard to explain, but I mean, it's very much an RPG in its roots. There are dice rolls and things like that. It is very well written. I think it's entirely a Chinese studio that have made it, but like it's just very, very well translated if it was initially done in Chinese. It's a lot of trial and error. Like you're not probably going to make it out of the jail the first time that you play. But the really cool premise of this, and I think almost this needs to become like a TV show or, you know, an animated TV show or a movie, you know, it's not too dissimilar to your movies like Zootopia and stuff like that, is that like all of the animals are in there for different reasons and they all have like buffs and debuffs and things like that. So, you know, you've got like a, you know, a rhino who's obviously like quite strong. There's a frog that is one of the inmates who everyone is trying to like get him to, he's like a poison frog. So people are trying to get him to like use him to be able to poison like food to be able to take people out. There are a lot of characters in it that are very much clearly taken from other prison based movies. You know, there's a lot of Shawshank Redemption references and Prison Break and stuff like that. It's a bit of a hard sell, but I played it to death and I played it through it maybe 5 times.
Oh wow.
In a very, very short period of time. And it's not a short game either. It's quite lengthy. But I found myself saving and reloading time and time again. It popped up on Game Pass out of nowhere. It had a 1.0 release very recently and I'm enjoying that. And the only other real obvious one, I don't even know if you can call this an indie game anymore or a retro game or any of that sort of stuff, it's certainly not a retro game, but is Silksong. I think that's a big one that's obviously released recently, Hollow Knight Silksong. And that's my life. That's all I do as soon as I have an opportunity to be able to play it. And it's stupid hard, unfairly hard. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a call for people who want these sorts of games. You know, it obviously started with games like Dark Souls and stuff like that. There's a point where it's almost too much. I think there are going to be people that quit on this one. The thing is, like, I have to beat it. Like, I don't have a choice as far as I'm concerned. Like, I've dedicated so much time to this. I've done sequences in this game that I didn't think were possible to be able to do. And I'm learning new stuff around how I play the game all the time, and a lot of it comes down to patience, waiting a few moments, reassessing, stopping a lot and giving yourself an actual break. I did that a lot when I was a younger player. Like, I, you know, there were things that were frustrating. I had to take a break and walk away. I'm definitely not throwing controllers or anything, but I'm like, I've had five goes at this. It's time to stop. And then you come back a couple hours later and you beat it first try. And that's a lot of the success in my game comes from that. It's phenomenal. I understand why it took 8 years to make. It's like twice as big, if not more, than the original game. And there's nothing, I can't say there's nothing quite like it. Obviously, there's a lot of games like it. You know, it's got very similar properties to games like Ori and the Blind Forest and a lot of other, like, you know, roguelite-y type games and Metroidvania type games. But it's just unbelievable in terms of the design and the thought and the way that you move around between the different rooms and the interconnectivity. I've never really, I've played games like it, but not at the level that they're playing at. It's set the bar incredibly high. If you hate yourself. I don't need to sell Silk Song to people. You will play it. And like, let's put it this way. My kid wants to play, she's four. She wants to play every game that I play. And she says, is this a daddy game or can I play? And I said, you can play it. I just don't know how you'll play it. And she doesn't understand that. And I said, any room you enter from this point on, you're probably gonna die. And she's like, okay. And so she'll jump into a room and dies in 2 seconds. And she's like, oh, okay, I get it. And she's just like, can you teach me? And I'm like, I can't. Sorry, I like this is the one
can
I can't
can
teach you.
Can you teach me, Jace? Because
I can't.
I gotta say, I totally agree with everything you said, and I think the only other game recently that I can think of that it reminds me of in terms of that sense of like exploration is, did you guys play Animal World?
No, I really want to.
Yeah. So like you really feel like you're exploring in Silksong. Like I got to a part where I'm fighting some moth. I played it for about 5.5 hours and that's it for me. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it. I say 5.5 hours, probably was a good 40 minutes at one stage where I literally left the game there, walked away, played a little bit more, left it on because I was getting so like annoyed and I thought, okay, I just need a break. And I kept on coming back to it after like 10 minute intervals. But yeah, it's brutally hard. Like you're right. Like it's not just like you die and you go to the next room and die. It's like you die in a part, you go through, you know, minutes of playing just to get back to the boss, just to die again. And then you do it again and you might die on the way there. And those guys with the scissors are so hard to kill, man. They just messed me up so many times. But yeah, I totally agree. You can see where all the time and effort has gone into this game. It is beautiful. The little like idle animations on different characters and the voices, the little noises that everything makes and the ambient noises and you know, the crunching of your feet running and that you can just bash like the leaves and growth and things that are just in the world that you know you can, so you just do it because it's fun.
You feel like you're there.
Like there was a bell in a room where I just could like move the bell around and I was in that room for a few minutes just knocking this bell around for no reason other than it was really fun to do. And that's a cool thing. They made a really hard game and it's not for everybody.
Did you play the first Hollow Knight, Jono?
I think briefly. And I think I found myself struggling with it. Actually, I played it your place and I kept dying weirdly and you were getting frustrated. So
was I?
I might have had a drink or two.
Yeah, right.
That might not have helped. But yeah.
Can I say the game looks good on Xbox, but the aspect ratio on the ultra wide, it looks beautiful.
Oh,
like
wow.
My son, he was just about to play it now and his save hasn't saved over, so he's gonna start all over again. He only put in like 10 minutes. But we had to delete it. Anyway. But yes, ultra wide is the way to go. If you can play in that way in any way, shape, or form, I'd highly recommend that.
Definitely nothing ultra wide here.
I am very desperate for somebody else to play this just to hear where their walls are in the game. So if your son can give me updates either through you or the occasional Xbox message to say, this is where I'm at, WTF.
He said to me, like when I told him I'm done with the game and I told, you know, I said like, you know, I, I, I hope you enjoy it, but I don't think it's for everybody. He's like, Dad, it sounds like a skill issue. And I'm like, well, thank you. Like,
okay.
Let's have that conversation in 5.5 hours of you playing it. So he'll be determined to get past that now.
I was going to say this isn't on the record, but it clearly is. You don't need to reveal this, but do you think that your son is a better gamer than you now?
Oh, with some games, absolutely, yes. Not every game. I would think I'm better than him at a side scroller, although he did finish Metroid Dread about 5 times. So,
Do you think that this, after experiencing how difficult this is, that if he could beat this game, he would then take that crown from you as a better gamer?
That would
be fun, I think.
That would be I'll hand it over. It's done.
I would love regular updates as to where he is. Just before, if you just have a quick chat with him and he just says, I'm in the frost area, this area, I just beat this boss. I'd love updates.
I've told him if he ever beats me in Tetris, like that's a day that I'll be so
that's
proud.
It. That's the game.
I'm not gentle when we play Tetris. There's no I just go hard because like the day he beats me, like literally, I'm going to be like, mate, you've done it. Here you go. Here's the crown. It's all yours.
And on that note, on the next podcast, Jace will be telling us how he's crying about having lost Tetris. We'll also talk about some of the games we're looking forward to coming up to. Hey, it's silly season isn't too far away, so there's definitely some stuff we're going to be looking forward to playing. It's been another fun podcast, and only a week apart. How good's that?
Only one whole week.
Exactly. So we'll see you in a week's time where we talk about those things we're looking forward to later in the year. Thanks for joining us on Versus Player. You can find us where you found us, and feel free to pass it on to other people because, the more people listen, the more fun we get out of it. So thank you for joining us once again at the return to Versus Player. See you soon.
Player. Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.